Call the meeting to order.
Now it's 7:05, go ahead.
I'd like to call the meeting to order. Would you all please rise and join me in the pledge of allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Carol, will you call roll, please?
President Graves.
Here.
Director Dawson.
Here.
Director Simon.
Here.
Director Steele.
Here.
Director Tatro.
Here.
Thank you. This is the time for public comments. Public comments should be on items that are not specifically addressed on the agenda. I would remind everyone that that all public comments are to be addressed to the board and therefore to the president of the board as the moderator. I would also like to remind the board that if you feel compelled to respond to a comment, that you do it through the chair. Are there any public comments?
You have a shot.
Good evening. I'd like to address my 3 minutes tonight is about the liabilities that the CSD board and council has created by allowing unprofessional conduct and covering it up. The recent dog and pony show regarding Mr. Dawson, it's not about his home life, but about his behavior as a CSD director that represents our community. This was a private company. His threats towards customers and coworkers that have led to being terminated with cause, sued for harassment, or arrested. His recent response to the notice of recall addresses his personal issues, unfortunately, but not his past behaviors related to how the CSD is represented. The GM, Rick, and council failed their fiduciary responsibilities to take appropriate corrective actions and to protect fellow board members and the public about 6 months ago when Director Dawson passed a note to Rick. Rick destroyed the note, showed it to council. The results speak for themselves, with a threatening note being destroyed, stated he was going to kick President Graves' ass. Director Dawson was not held accountable for his past actions and has been shown special treatment. His idle threats to sue directors if they try to remove him from his director seat is further lack of accountability. His recall is necessary to minimize liabilities for the ratepayers and to restore some acceptable level of professionalism to our board.
Thank you. Are there other comments?
Kevin,
you should have a yellow sheet from the president.
Oh, I apologize. Yeah, go ahead.
I have three things. The first thing, if you're walking on Clipper Drive towards the Lake Shore Business Park, I think it is, a couple restaurants there. There is no crosswalk and there is no street light on that side of the street. It's very dark and it's very dangerous. I'd like to suggest or ask the town to look into putting a street light there and a crosswalk. It's on record, and if there's an accident or injury, you know, it now falls upon your responsibility. The second thing, I got this letter. Property owners in Discovery Bay are subject to $36 fee to the county to have people inspect your property that's a rental. I don't know if you're aware of that. I called the county Conservation and Development Department. They said that the supervisors did this primarily for Antioch and Pittsburgh, where there's more problems. I explained, as they knew, we had a property association there to take care of that. Then they said, they told me on the phone that the supervisors are going to talk about that. Why didn't they talk about that before they passed the darn thing for Discovery Bay? So I don't know if you have any input in the town, but maybe we should and stop that if we can, because this is absurd, I think. Thirdly, last week there was a blueprint thing for dog parks. Three of them were being looked at. The chair there said, anybody else want to talk? He did not look to the audience. I would have spoke because $4,800 was budgeted for that, but when they cut 3 to 2, the budget didn't come down. It stayed at $4,800. Should have went down to $3,200. The budget's probably going to be spent too much, I think. You need to look at that and those kind of things. And if the public is going to be invited to comment, you need to address the public so they can comment on issues. Thank you.
Any other comments?
I guess the first thing I want to do is thank you, President Grace, for calling me after the last meeting and talking about decorum. I think it's a good subject to discuss. And I will certainly do my best to be as positive and productive in my comments as I can be, and I look forward to you responding in kind. I asked on several occasions over the past several months for the committee meetings to be recorded. It was last week. We had Catherine Caceres from the county come in and talk about the community center. I again asked for it to be recorded. You know, I think it's pretty obvious that the reason it's not being recorded is because the board and the general manager don't want the public to have access to what's discussed in those meetings. And I say that because the excuses that the general manager gave started with, there's no one here to do it. It's not true. It's too difficult. So I did a public records request and saw that it's about a 20-word procedure that's written down that's not difficult at all. And then I heard it's because the board has not given authority to the general manager to record it. And I don't find that to be credible either. Now, I can appreciate that when something's recorded, other people can hear it, and the people who speak become accountable. And I can appreciate that the general manager and the president don't like that. But I think you need to get over that and adhere to transparency. And I know transparency, President Graves, you told me it makes you angry when people mention transparency. And, you know, I know it does, but I'm going to mention it again. And I'm going to mention it as long as I need to, until the board and you and the general manager take steps toward transparency. And finally, with regard to Vice President Dawson, I think it's a real shame that he is attempting to turn the recall effort into a personal family issue of which none of the public should be concerned. It's not a personal private issue. It's an issue pertaining to the way he acts and as a director. And he has sent a letter to me, a public document, saying that he's discussed my need for medical psychiatric treatment. The board knows about that and hasn't done anything to reprimand it. I asked a month ago for comments and President Dawson didn't respond. Apparently he's perfectly happy with the comments he made. So, you know, whether it's chasing people down in the parking lot, threatening to kick your ass, President Graves, or accusing me of needing medical psychiatric treatment, it's all inappropriate. And that's why he's going to be recalled.
Thank you. Any other comments? Hearing none?
Didn't you have a little yellow?
That's for a specific item. Thank you, Carol. Hearing none, the time for public comments is closed. At this time, I would like to take an item that is listed under director's comments and separate it from that, because it really probably should not be there, and move it up to this point, and that would be the election of a vice president. Do we need a motion to change the agenda?
No, sir.
Okay. Is there any problem with anybody? Any problem? Everybody okay with that? Okay. So at this point, then I would accept nominations for the office of vice president. Reminding everybody that this term is only going to be for about four more meetings, because at the in December we actually will change all the offices. But at this point, I would open the nominations for vice president.
I would remind the president, if I may, that the public has a right to comment as well.
Thank you.
Through the chair, I'd like to nominate Chris Steele for vice president.
Also, I need to remind the board, the nominations do not need a second, so we don't need to wait for seconds on these things. They're strictly a nomination process. So are there any other nominations for vice president?
I nominate Rick Tishman.
Okay. Any other nominations?
You may ask for public comments now, yes, sir.
Okay. Are there any comments from the public with regards to the nominations on the floor? Okay. Hearing none. I'm sorry. Here we go.
All five directors, do they vote?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
I'm sorry.
President Graves, do all five directors vote?
Do you have any comments, Mr. Flint? This is the time for public comments, not public questions.
Really? I think I can ask a question.
Yeah, and you can. And you
That's what I'm doing, and you're telling me it's not the time for it.
No, you can. I'm sorry. I apologize. You can make any comment that you'd like to. So go ahead.
Are all five directors eligible to vote for this? So here we have.
Do you have any other comments?
Yeah, I'll keep going. Thanks. So here we have a member of this public that's asking a question about the process. And the president probably knows the answer, but he isn't willing to answer the question. And this goes to transparency again. I know it's your favorite word, President Graves. Your unwillingness to share the process is really sad. But you know, really my comment is, this is a little bit of a waste of time because some of you have already decided how this is going to go, and I congratulate Vice President Steele. You know, this I already heard about this 2.5 weeks ago. So, again, congratulations. You're going to make a great vice president.
Any other comments? Okay, hearing none. Any other nominations? Nominations are closed. I believe protocol is that we vote on them in the order that they were nominated. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay. So all those in favor of Chris Steele filling the vacant spot of vice president, please do so by indicating with an aye.
Aye.
I'll abstain.
And anybody opposed? Okay. I believe there was three ayes. Okay. The motion carries for Director Steele. Three ayes, one abstention, and a no. So recorded. Moving on to item C, which is presentation. We have somebody here for presentation, but first, before we get to that, I would like to ask Gerald Smart to come to the front of the room, please. Come on up here, Gerald. For those that don't know Gerald, Gerald has been here for about a year and a half, or has been longer than that?
2 years, 8 months, but I'm not.
2 years, 8 months, longer than I have been on the board, and has done a wonderful job for us. He has been the plant manager out for Veolia for a while. He's actually had numerous different roles, but basically, and you guys have heard him if you've been here because he's given the reports before, but he's been running our plant. He's moving on to a new adventure up in the Cascades. He's moving up to the Oregon, at least for the time being, trying to get closer to home, I think. And we just wanted to thank Gerald for all his hard work, tell him how much we appreciate him, and give him a little certificate, token of our appreciation, and say job well done and thank you. It's been a pleasure working with you. It honestly has.
Thank you. Well, I'm not much on speaking.
You never mind what you mean.
You know, time flies when you're having fun, right? And when I took this assignment, I didn't really know what challenges were going to be. And there were some, and there still are some. And I gave you all, those over here, my personal commitment that I would do my very best to make the changes that was your vision, that being the town and the board. And I feel very confident that I've done that. Handing over the reins to Bernie Sadler, Bernie's going to take this whole process to another level. And I think he's going to do a real good job for you. And I want to give a personal thanks to Kevin and Rick and for their embracing me and being friends to me and helping me do the things I needed to do. And I appreciate the interest, Ray, that you always had coming to the meetings and doing all that. So and you guys have just been great to work with. So with that, I'll say thank you.
I just want to add another comment. For those of you that don't know, Veolia was brought in an emergency situation under emergency contract, and they really didn't know what was in front of them when they came here. And Gerald's the one that ran that thing and got it going and got us on track and kept us at least a target that hasn't been able to be hit too many times by the state of California. So he's not kidding when he says that they didn't know what they were in for. And they've done a terrific job. In fact, it's a good job that, as you'll recall, the board has now signed a long-term contract with Veolia. And a lot of that comes from the hard work and diligence of Gerald. So thanks again, Gerald. Appreciate it very much.
Mr. President, if I may add a word. I've been here just about a year and a half now, and Gerald was my go-to guy with Veolia, and I learned a lot about turbidity and VOD and WAS and RAS and all these other things that most of the folks in the audience don't know, but I've learned a lot about it, and I just want to say how much I've appreciated Gerald and how much I'm going to miss him, and I had to tell him that when he moves up to Oregon, make sure he has an extra bedroom, because I'm going to come up with it.
Thank you, Director. Don't forget, Taco Tuesdays at Orwood. We expect you to make the commute. Okay, and thanks again, Gerald. And now we have a presentation from the County Department of Emergency Services. And
Rick Kovar, he's the Director of the Office of Emergency Services for the County. He's going to be able to provide the board and the public. This all started with the earthquake and the tsunami in Japan. Sometimes it takes a disaster to remind yourself that, or at least ask the question, are we as protected, are we as well planned out as we probably should be? And the answer to that question was no. During the course of the past summer, our intern and myself worked very diligently on an emergency operation plan. That plan is currently being reviewed by staff. Rick has indicated that he'd be more than happy to take a review of that. So once we finish with our vetting, I'm going to send a copy on over to him. But I also thought it would be appropriate for him to come in and address the board and the public, so we can kind of find out, since we're kind of isolated out here from Martinez, what we might be able to do, what we can do, and what they can help us do. So with that, Rick, if you want to go ahead.
Great. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Rick Kovar. I'm the Emergency Services Manager, not Director. We're the Office of Emergency Services, which...
You just got promoted, yeah.
I like the idea. I do. You have to tell my chain of command that tomorrow when I get in the office. What we do, OES is the acronym that we use, but Office of Emergency Services is managed by the Office of the Sheriff here in Contra Costa County. Throughout the 58 counties in California, there's a couple of different models that these emergency services organizations are run under. The majority of them typically are under the sheriff's office, because they typically have a large mandate throughout their counties, and so they tend to be a pretty good fit. Some fire departments have them, and then there's some standalone counties that work directly under the CAO of the county. We a law enforcement organization. Our main mission, it's pretty varied. Every day when I go to work, it's always something different. And keeps us on our toes. But the overall mission that the Office of Emergency Services does has four parts to it. It's preparedness, it's mitigation, response, and recovery. And of those four parts, each of them plays a critical role in time of disaster. And the preparedness part is what takes the majority of our time. And as you guys probably are working through your plan, that's part of your preparedness aspect too. So it's a large chunk. Under preparedness, we do a lot of training and exercise. In fact, last May, we participated in a large-scale, statewide exercise called Golden Guardian. And the scenario for Golden Guardian this year was actually a flood and levee failure exercise. So it's kind of timely that you guys contacted us to talk a little bit about it, because the state and our office has been pretty active in planning and preparing for that type of event. This one was based on a large-scale rain storm that affected the levees, but you look at things like earthquakes and other incidents, your levees are definitely at risk. So for preparedness, we do a lot of training and exercises, but one of the biggest things we do is we also write a lot of plans. And the plans, we have an overarching plan, which is called our emergency operation plan. It's a concept of operations, it just is how we would react in any type of disaster. It's an all hazards plan. And then all of our other plans and annexes of those plans are based off that one single plan. So over the last couple of years, we've done a lot of focus with the state of California and the federal government on linking federal, state, and local plans together. And we focused on we finished an earthquake plan 2 years ago and pushed that out to all the cities. I wasn't involved in that, so I don't know if Discovery Bay was part of that response plan. If not, we certainly can get you linked into that, that plan itself and how that works. We also have done wildland fire interface plan this year, and then we've done some evacuation planning and a couple other plans. So as far as preparedness, most of our plans that we do, part of our exercise regime, when I talked about our training exercise, are to exercise those plans. And so this last exercise in May, that was actually the flood exercise, was really based on how our overarching emergency operations plan worked. And so we have to constantly exercise those plans and then update them as need be. And then also with preparedness is preparing equipment and personnel in time of those disasters. So part of our training plan is we do push out a lot of training to a lot of the EMS fire police agencies throughout the county to get them trained up to be able to respond and manage these large scale incidences. Overall, what OES does is we're in time of disaster, if anyone hits, is we're really an information clearinghouse. We're not first responders. We're not going to be out there slugging sandbags on your levees, but we're the ones that you guys are going to call and go, hey, we need people to help us with riprap and levee assistance. And so our job is to try and find that for you guys. And so either it'll be locally, you know, if we have the resources here locally. If not, we'll go to the state and ask them for resources. And God forbid we go to FEMA, but they're the next ones on our list to go and ask for help. So that's really part of the preparedness. Under mitigation, we also have a planning cycle where what mitigation is looking at risks and hazards throughout the county and trying to minimize their risk in either time of disaster, terrorist event, that sort of thing. So we do an analysis of our critical industries and key resources. And so everything from, you know, petrochemical to water resources to transportation, all those things. And so that part of our planning process and is to try and minimize the damage that might happen once an event, either man-made or natural, happens. And the next phase that we also are very involved in is the response phase. And so that goes hand in hand with our planning and training, is what will we do once the big one hits or an event that is outside of the abilities of, let's say, the town of Discovery Bay. So the response would, you know, I'll answer some questions later, but basically if we just try and prepare all the agencies within our county to be better prepared to respond, like as I mentioned before, we're not going to be getting in the vehicles and coming here with lights and sirens, but we'll be directing the resources that would be needed. And then finally, the last phase of our cycle that we work on is recovery. Once the event happens, how do we bring resources in the community back to normal operations following a large-scale event? So a lot of this is done through seeking out funds, grant reimbursements. Both the state and federal government have disaster assistance. And so our job will be to manage that and sort of work with the affected communities to try and provide and get that funding to get everyone back to normal services.
Great, thanks. Are there any questions for Rick from the board? Any questions or comments from the public, please come to the podium and address Ms. Rick for us. I
your last Ms. name. Rick?
Mr. Rick.
Are there any plans, written plans, prepared by the county that cover Discovery Bay itself in particular? And if so, do we have a copy of that plan?
To the best of my knowledge, there's nothing specific for Discovery Bay. Most of our plans are concepts and large, and the idea is to try and manage as big a chunk as possible. So we don't have a city plan for Danville, we don't have a city plan for Lafayette, but underneath that overarching emergency operations plan, the concepts of operations within that will work with your community. Obviously, you have some specific things that are different than a lot of the other communities in the county with the waterways and I think one of the directors mentioned that when I came in here, you're an island unto yourself, and that's for sure true. So we do not have that, but our evacuation plan and the transportation plan that we have can certainly be plugged in to working with your community in time of disaster, where we, if we needed to move you guys out, provide shelter elsewhere, but it should work for that.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments? Please come forward.
I had some questions about an evacuation plan and also about where they're putting sandbags and things like that. Maybe that's something that's still being covered by staff. I know it's carrying a plan. A couple of years ago, we had some flooding in our streets, and people were crying about where to get sandbags, and it was really a challenge to find out where to get that. Do you have that information?
I do have the information. I can't tell you exactly where your sandbag station is, but I certainly can get it for you. We do, our office actually manages buying the sand, but I can't guess, but if you want, I can give you my card and we can provide you guys that information. But we do have a station out here in East County, and it's free to go, but you have to do the labor to get the bag and fill the sand.
Right, I remember you had to bring your own bag and your own shovel. It was the Byron Airport last time, several years ago.
Byron Airport, that's the one that it's still there, and we provide the bags.
Okay, and if there was an evacuation, what first response is it the sheriff or is it the fire department? Who comes for Discovery Bay?
It will fall under the sheriff's office as far as evacuation is concerned, but as you know, the resources are going to be slim, so it's going to be an all hands event. So the fire department's going to be involved. We're going to be pulling mutual aid in from elsewhere. The key on an evacuation is where are we evacuating to?
Right.
So we do have a care and shelter plan that has pre-identified several places where we can take people to. There's a lot of them, so we keep a list of probably over 100 for the county, because we don't know in which disaster which place is going to be standing.
Right.
So we have pre-existing plans through the Red Cross. And the Red Cross is the one that's going to open those shelters. But in a short term, if we have to move you quickly, most likely it's going to be a school, a nearby school, or an area where we can put people in a large auditorium.
So are you aware of the high points in Discovery Bay? I know I had this conversation a few years ago. But once upon a time, people used to say, well, that, and I believe Rocky Pember at that point said, it's either the top of Discovery Bay Elementary School or it was the Discovery Yacht Club, the restaurant area. There were two high points if everything flooded. Are you aware of that, or is that something, that's something to check?
It would probably be addressed in the individual plan. I know from working with Bethel Island, that their high points are actually the levee tops. If the levee broke, the plan is to get everybody up to the top of the highest levees and then move them to where they need to go. Because
right.
You don't have a lot of time if the levee breaks to get out of the way.
Right. And something before our former harbor master, Jeff Dawson, that was a soul that passed away, he was always concerned about was the marina and the potential for fire at that location. And I know that the fire department would always go in there and say, if we ever had a big fire here, it would just be a disaster, because they never were prepared. And I know, up until months before he passed, that he said, this is a real risk factor for us. Is there something that the county has, that's something that maybe the county's looking at, or do we have a plan for that kind of a large marina fire there? Because that could be, obviously a water disaster, or, environmental disaster, all sorts of things, right?
A fire is going to fall under the fire department, a large-scale fire. They may call us for resources. One thing I do know is there's not a lot of waterborne firefighting resources in this county.
Right.
In fact, at one point, East Contra Costa Fire had to borrow one of our boats because their boat was out of commission, and they had ended up putting a hose on that, and that was the capability. Our Marine Patrol, the Sheriff's Office, our two moose boats have firefighting capability. But then the next best is going to be either through San Joaquin County, through their agencies, or the Coast Guard. But I don't have an exact answer for you. But
right.
I would imagine that it would be bad if you had a large-scale fire.
Yeah.
We did have one out on, I can't remember what island it was, about 2 years ago, where it was burning, and there was just no resources to go out to that island. That it's a definite gap in the ability to respond, but it is a fire responsibility.
Right. And then, well, I think that probably answers that question until probably the town comes out with their plan. I'll look forward to that.
For your plan, I'm definitely interested in that, because every plan that we have from, you know, basically the state down to our county, to the cities, we want to link, and there's causal linkages. So one of the things we'll look at with your plan is that it fits and melds in with our plan, because there's no use having a plan if it doesn't speak to our ability to respond.
Right. Well, the last time that we used the Office of Emergency Services, it was because something happened at Boys Ranch, and so the call went out to homes in Discovery Bay. But I noticed a lot of people didn't get those calls, and I know that I'm one of those people who doesn't have a landline anymore. You know, we all use our cell phones. And so I've since signed up on the website to get calls or notifications in the case of an emergency, but even still it happened again. Is there a way that people can find their way onto a list? And even people have had landlines here for a dozen years.
Yep.
Some seem not to be on that list. Do you have a suggestion about what?
Yeah, it's a great question. One of the programs we do manage is the community warning system out of our office. And what that is, that's a reverse 911 system. So we can use it in, for that case, where the three or four boys escaped from the low walls of that facility.
No walls, yeah.
Well, right. That's really low. it has the ability to call down. And so one of the struggles that we've addressed over the last couple of years is it was primarily designed for landlines. There is a way, and so you did do the volunteer sign up online.
Right.
And it didn't work.
Well, it hasn't worked for everybody, but we had other incidents since then, and so it wasn't universal.
Okay. There's a couple of answers to this, and I don't want to sound like I'm dodging it, but if it didn't call, there's a couple of reasons. The way that the community warning system goes is I can actually go into a mapping system, and I can call one house, or I can call every house in the neighborhood. So it may, depending on the incident, do you know what the second incident was that people didn't call on?
Well, I believe there was a second escape here a couple of weeks ago.
Actually, I don't believe that one made it to the reverse 911 because they weren't a threat.
I had a message on my phone, so maybe it just came. But that could be exclusive to me, so I don't know.
Yeah, we're just sending you information. No. that I can't answer, because I didn't think there were two escapes that came across our deck. But the way the community warning systems go is we can go from a house to a city block to the whole county, and we can choose and pick. So one of the complaints I know we've had in the past is we had a shelter in place, I think, in Hercules a couple of months ago. There was a guy in there threatening with a gun. So the person in charge, the incident commander at the scene, wanted a certain geographical area, basically two blocks around that house. Well, people on the three blocks away complained that they weren't notified, but it was the incident commander's decision that wasn't a threat beyond those two blocks, and that's a field decision. We won't question that when we're doing the generating the calls.
Right. Okay. Well, I guess the rest of it's probably going to fall into the town specific. You know, I mean, where we go in the case of emergency, and maybe that's a Rec 800 levy question also. So, unless you have an idea about where Discovery Bay residents should go in the case of a flooding emergency, or if there's you just went through a levy training. And so is there something specific for this area, for Far East County, for the levee emergency?
I'd have to look at maps. I can't speak to it off my top of my
sure.
head. But again, it's just as you said, we have to look where the break is, where the water's coming. Then we can actually, County Public Works has GIS software that can actually give us flood models fairly quickly. All of the floodplains and the flood areas in the county are already mapped out, so we can pull those maps out and go, okay, if there's water coming here, we know exactly where it's going to be affected. And so you can look at that map and go, okay, we know that. So what I'm saying is there are places, I'm sure, on our maps that show where are high grounds that we can put people. But by the time it gets from us to Martinez to here, I'm hoping you guys are already running to the
right.
High ground. So that's one of those pre-planned things that would be great for Discovery Bay to put out to the community. Because if you wait for us, and I'm not knocking us or anyone else, but the timing and the ability to get that information out, I mean, you've got to get out of your house if the water's coming.
Sure.
You're not going to have time to wait unless we know it's going to be an imminent break as opposed to a break.
Does the county share that information with the schools? Like, say the children are in school in the middle of the day and something, one of these things happens. Do they have the same county emergency management plan, or would they turn to the town of Discovery Bay for a more specific one? What did the school follow? I know if I would be concerned in the middle of the day if something was happening, how do I get to my son?
I can't speak for the schools, but they should have internal emergency plans on what to do to move their students. But certainly if they call, you know, 911, we get involved as far as trying to help them evacuate those children. But again, I really couldn't comment on the schools themselves.
I'll grab your card on the way out, though, so if I'm here.
Okay.
Great.
Thank you.
Great questions, Amanda. Appreciate the information. That was a lot of good information for all of us. Rick, I think you're putting together a plan, and you'll be working together with the county on making sure that they have copies of it and that we fall into approved and...
It'll come back.
Great. Any other questions?
So there was a little bit of a concern when the 3 or 4 kids escaped recently about the time it took for the phone calls to come out. Is that an issue that is driven by delays? Is that your fault? Or how does that work?
I wasn't involved in that incident. So this is just an assumption. Don't know when the ranch discovered the kids were missing.
8 o'clock.
And then there's a cascade effect. So officers are going to go out there. They're going to investigate the situation, figure out what's going on. There is a delay. It can be, you know, minutes, or it could be hours, depending on the response time there, them getting back to us to put the call out. The call out, we can't just, you know, push a button. There is a little bit. It takes about 5 to 10 minutes to type in all the information in, because it's an electronic system.
Sure.
So those are delays. So
in
I don't
theory,
know.
But from the time you guys get the notification from the commander,
it should
be
less than 20 minutes.
The calls go out. And they all go out at once?
They go out almost simultaneously.
Okay.
We have the company that we contract through actually has their call center in Tennessee, which is a failsafe for us because if California gets pancaked.
Sure.
So they've got something like 24,000 lines that go into play. So it's a fairly robust system, but it's not, if you've got, you know, 10,000 phone calls to make, it's going to take, you know, it's less than a half hour.
Well, it was very cool to get the call.
Was it?
It would have been nicer to get it earlier, but it was very good to get the call.
Yeah.
And President Graves, if anybody on the board has any information on that, I'd love to hear it as well on the time. But it's a, yeah, thanks.
Thank you. That's something I can get for you guys if you have that question. I just don't have it here.
Thanks, Rick. Actually, Director Simon, I believe, has some. Has some input on this.
We asked the sheriff's department. The sheriff regulates this. The sheriff goes out and investigates first. They decide how big the threat is, whether the threat should involve what area, and whether the threat should go out at all. That's what takes so much time. And in the case of the 4, when they investigated, they felt that was bad enough, and they did have a shelter in place through the community. When the 1 escaped after that, he was picked up in a car. They know he was heading back to Stockton. They felt it wasn't a threat in Discovery Bay. That's why it was treated the way it was.
Yeah, there was 1 individual of the 3 that was considered at the risk in that escape.
We did ask some questions.
I got a question.
Director Steele.
I just have a question on the communication ability, interagency communication. Has that been resolved for the Bay Area as far as radio, common radio frequencies? And
so the world of interoperability. Definitely, it has not been solved. That has been a project that the sheriff's office has taken the lead for the county. It's what's called a P25 system. Post-2001, the 9/11 commission said that all cops and firefighters have to speak on the ability to speak on the same radios. And so what we've done in conjunction with Alameda County, we created a joint power authority with Alameda County. We're working directly with them. It's a $60 million project just to convert these radios to this narrow banding that's mandated. The federal government says by 2013, everyone has to be on it. It's tough for a lot of communities because that's the cost involved in that. It's taken a lot of money out of some communities. Here at Contra Costa County, we've used a combination of a lot of Homeland Security grant money, both through the UASI and Homeland Security, to make up that difference. January of 2012, the West End is going to go up on that interoperability system. And by the end of the year, Central and East County will also be put onto that system. So within, again, don't quote me, but by the end of 2012, we should all be able to use that system.
Great. Any other questions from anybody for Rick? Seeing none. Thank you very much. Thanks for taking the time to come out here and talk to us. And we look forward to working with you in preparing our plans. Okay, this is time for directors' reports or comments. Do any directors have any reports or comments to make? Ray.
We just had our another community center meeting, and we did have Captain Concerns from the county come out and just answered some questions that we had to ask, and most of those questions were around a site and what site we were looking at, and what conditions that the Hoffman Company had to do, and how they all came about, and we talked about all that, and it will cause for us to have a couple of have an agenda item for next meeting to discuss a couple of things on the community center. So,
great.
That's all I have.
Thank you. Director Simon? Director Steele?
Yeah, I'd just like to remind everyone that tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, Byron Union School District will be having their district meeting, and I'll plan on attending that.
Director Dawson? The Communications Committee did meet today, and we are just about winding up our reports and recommendations to the board, and we should have those by the 1st of December, coming back hopefully with some ideas on how to better disseminate information to the public. And myself and general manager attended a seminar last Monday through Wednesday. We attended the annual CSD conference at the Monterey Convention Center. The three-day conference was loaded with information, seminars, speakers, and networking opportunities. I was fortunate enough to have had the opportunity to discuss with industry professionals on a number of topics facing special districts, including planning and funding mission-critical projects, best practices for boards, and board dynamics, as well as a host of other topics. It was really a well-done, it was really neat to meet with other individuals, other community service districts that have some of the same challenges and some of the same success stories as we have. It was very informative and well attended, and that's all. That's all I have. Thank you. That's it. Okay, to the consent calendar, staff, did you ever change?
I pull item 2.
If I'm not mistaken, I think you're going to ask for comments from the public.
Your agenda does provide that the public has a right to comment on any agenda item at the time that it is taken up.
For clarification, that's per our choice, correct?
That's what your agenda notice says.
Okay, very good. Our choice is to go ahead and let you do that then.
It would be great, I think, if you would invite the public to make comment rather than require that they jump up and interrupt you.
Sorry, I forgot.
Understandable. You mentioned the communication meeting and talking about methods of getting information out to the public. I'm curious as to whether or not recording and posting the audio from those meetings was ever mentioned. If it wasn't, I think it should be. I know that at the community center meeting, I asked that you put on the agenda for the communication or for the community center committee. And I hope it is brought up. I know that it's never been discussed and resolved by the board. I think perhaps General Manager Howard and President Graves have discussed it and decided that they prefer to not share that information on the website. But I think it would be good to do it. And then I guess the other question I have is, the information that you received from the seminar, can that be posted to the website? I think there were some handouts and some other interesting pieces of information. Thanks.
Thank you. Any other comments on directors on directors' comments? Okay, is there a change to the consent calendar, staff?
Yes, I'd like to pull item 2.
Great. I would entertain a motion to accept the consent text calendar exclusive of item number two.
Make a motion to accept the consent calendar minus number two.
I'll second that.
Any discussion by the board? Any discussion by the public?
You know, I did have a question about the minutes that were revised. Should I ask that question now or should I wait?
It's your time for comments, so you can do it however you'd like.
But is it my time to comment on something we pulled from the consent calendar, or is it my time to comment on the issue?
No, we're actually going to discuss it.
Yeah, well, I believe we will be discussing. Actually, we're just pulling the item for future, to put it onto a later agenda, correct?
No, we'll do
it. We're going to discuss it tonight? Okay. Why don't you wait just a minute, and when we vote on that item, then we'll
Okey-dokey.
Do it then. Okay. Any other comments? Hearing none. There's a motion on the floor. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? The motion carries unanimously. Staff, would you like to address item two?
Yes. Item number two, the minutes were changed to reflect public participation in a couple of the items. The original draft minutes did not include some public comments, and I felt it was appropriate that we made sure that the people that did speak to the items were included in the record of the minutes, and so the minutes that were distributed, Carol, I believe today, the amended minutes went out, I believe today, or
actually
yesterday. Thank you. And are in the back of the room for the public's review as well.
On the website too.
That is the only change to the minutes, was to add those members of the public that spoke on the individual items. Other than that, there are no other changes.
Okay, I guess I would entertain a motion to accept the minutes as amended.
You have public comment first, sir.
Oh, okay.
You're going to get it.
Public comment on item number two.
Thank you. There aren't any copies of those minutes in the back.
We must have run out. I can make more.
You can have mine.
Can I have some time to just take a look at it before we go?
Well, we don't have much time, so we'll just. So, any other comments on the amended minutes?
I'd like to add that the minutes were added to the website.
Posted
as
on
well,
the website, yes.
And they have been on the website for the past couple of days.
Right.
So there has been opportunity for the public to review them on the website.
Anything else to comment? Mr. Flint, did you grab your eye?
No, that's good. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Your copy.
I would entertain a motion to accept item number two from the consent calendar for as amended the minutes. Is there a motion?
I'll make a motion to accept number two as amended.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Thank you. Okay. Motion's been made and seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Thank you. Now to new business. F1. Staff.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board, members of the public. This item is adopting changes to the town's bylaws and to the town of Discovery Bay's board policy. These were presented to you in two different occasions previously. I had, at the last board meeting where this was discussed, a member of the public and the president directed me to meet with a member of the public relative to this subject, which I did. I met with actually two members of the public on this subject and went ahead and made some changes, worked with council on it as well. It ended up being a fairly cumbersome process, but in the end, I think we have a much better set of bylaws and a much much clearer board policy related to the board's roles and responsibilities as board members. Relative to the bylaws, it was primarily intended to reflect the changes that the board had adopted over the course of the past year or so, the board's adopted a number of resolutions, and I wanted to make sure that those resolutions were included in the bylaws. So we took an opportunity to have a circular view of the bylaws, if you will, and we looked at it from top to bottom, made a number of changes, and those are before you this evening. The first set of the documents is a strikeout underlying. Should be easy to see where the changes were made. And then there's a clean copy at the end. There are some formatting issues we still need to work through, but no more changes unless the board has any recommended changes this evening. With that, I'm more than happy to answer any questions.
So the content's not going to change. There may be some typos or formatting changes. Is that correct?
It's mostly formatting.
Okay. Any questions from the board? Any comments from the public? Please come forward.
Yeah, I was just sitting here flipping through this and something caught my eye, section two, the last paragraph, the last sentence actually. It says in the discharge of their duties. Policy. Board policy.
And where are you, Jeff?
Section two, last paragraph, last sentence.
Okay.
In the discharge of their duties, the board of directors must comply with all legal and moral laws and are required to receive ethics training pursuant to AB 1234. So I read that, then I flipped through the rest of it, and I didn't see anything in here about, I saw no enforcement language. What if a director does not choose to comply with all legal and moral laws? So it seems funny to me to say things like this when you have no enforcement language. And even if you did, this board doesn't seem to take these issues very seriously, especially you know, you have the word must in here, and obviously that's not the case. Beyond that, I don't know what a moral law is. I know what a moral standard is. I know what moral standards are, but I don't know what moral laws are. So I think it's just very strange to have language like this where you say you must comply, but there is no enforcement language. And beyond that, you know, this is a board that we obviously have legal and ethical and moral issues on this board, and the only people that ever brought those issues into this room were the public. It was never the directors brought those issues forward. Yet you're bringing forward board policies that said you should be doing that, but you didn't do it when you had a very high-profile situation that's going to continue to dog this board. So before you vote on this, I think you should give this paragraph some very careful thought and consideration. Thank you.
If I may, Mr. President,
in the
draft that had been provided to me, I had identified as well as Mr. Barber, correct? Mm-hmm. Mr. Barber had pointed out there's no such thing as moral laws, and I think in an error, I had asked that it be removed because there's no such thing. So I would ask that the board consider if it does approve that policy that they approve it by amending it by removing those words because they have no meaning.
Thank you, counsel. Appreciate that. Thank you for pointing that out. I'm glad to. Okay. Had that been addressed, staff?
We talked about it. It was inadvertently left in.
Okay, so read us how you...
How's
that going to read, then?
The words and moral will be deleted.
All legal.
We'll comply with all legal laws and are required to receive ethics training.
Yeah, it's redundant. With gravity? What laws? I mean, are we talking... I'm not clear on that. Are we talking about laws or physics? I mean, we're talking about the government, the court, the ordinance.
It probably needs to be. I'm sorry, sir. I apologize for asking you up, and then we'll get to you in just a second. That probably needs to be rewritten somehow. Whether we're talking about laws of the state, laws of, you know.
How broad is it?
We're talking about, you know, civil laws, criminal laws.
Perhaps this language, all applicable local, state, and federal laws.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you.
I'm sorry, go ahead, sir.
In answering that, would that be encompassed by Robert Rosenberg's rules of order? Is that kind of cover that too? Or as far as moral and conduct and such? I don't know. Anyway, that was my question. My question is, reading IMD, the board president shall serve as official spokesperson for the board. That's omitted, and also the designate directors or others to represent the board, also omitted. So if you look at the corrected version of, or the new version of item D, I don't see anything there, and maybe it's me, or does item 5 provide overall leadership of the committee encompass that, or is it somewhere else?
Okay, I don't know. Yeah, can you give us a reference?
Item D?
Item
D, and it's...
which
policies or bylaws?
Draft.
Which one?
You've omitted the board president shall serve as official...
But no, my question, sir, is we have two documents. We have policies and we have bylaws. Is it in the policies or the bylaws?
Ooh.
Look on the front.
The first blank page, it says draft on it.
The bottom of the page.
Oh, yeah.
Town of Discovery Bay board policy amended.
Okay, what page?
Page 6 and 7.
Okay, now we're all... There is no 6. I have a 6. I don't have a 7.
He's referring to the strikeout.
The strikeout, okay. So we'll go to the very first copy then.
And then
6 on both copies. D.
So I just...
Okay, go ahead.
In my mind, I was wondering who does that then, if that's omitted, because I don't see it in the new draft.
If I may, Mr. President.
Yes, sir.
That was redundant. It's contained in the bylaws as well as the board policy. So since the bylaws establish the structure of the district, the identification of responsibilities of the officers is more appropriate in the bylaws. So that's where it is. It's still there, but it's in the bylaws.
Okay.
Yeah, otherwise it was redundant.
Yeah, thank you. And my question probably was then.
Thank you. Any other comments with regards to this item? If you do, please come up.
Well, I would hope that there's no great urgency in approving these tonight, because I think that there's work that needs to be done on them. I do think the fact that there's no sanctions kind of renders these lofty requirements a little bit moot. And I think it's worth really discussing. You know, this is the first time, thanks to Mr. Barber's question, that there was actually a discussion about these amongst the board. I think it's disappointing that the general manager presents this. The board has no issues and no questions, and as far as I can tell, probably would have voted to approve it. And there are issues that really ought to be discussed. I'd like to know where Mr. Dawson chasing citizens or following citizens in the parking lot and challenging to a fist fight is covered by these rules.
You're stepping out of the realm of the discussion of these items.
That's interesting.
You've already had that discussion, Mr. Flint. You've already expressed your opinion on that. You're being redundant at this point, and that's not what we're talking about here.
I completely disagree.
Well, you may disagree, but that's
how
it is.
How is it redundant to ask how those actions would fit into these rules? Has that been asked before? By golly, has it been answered? Has it been discussed? You know, really, President Graves, you're interrupting me again, and you're wrong again. You have a gavel, but I have a right to talk. And where does the email that he sent as a vice president of the board, telling me that he's discussed my psychiatric issues and that I need treatment, where does that fit in these rules? Where does it fit in our old rules, too? But that's not the discussion. Discussion is the new rules. Also, you know, more importantly, or very important also, is there's resolutions that aren't included in this. And, you know, I met with Bill Richardson and Rick, and I offered to provide a list of the resolutions, and Rick said he didn't need it. But we don't have anything about the no cash policy in here. And we don't have anything about action item minutes only, at least I don't think we do. I think that there's some really high-level thinking that needs to be done. What should the bylaws be, and what should the policies be? And right now, you know, somebody gets up and starts talking about it, there's no way to know which document that item's in, because they're just mixed between the two. I think it's, at this point, a sloppy piece of work. I hope you don't feel the need to approve it. And I think you really need to discuss why important resolutions aren't included.
Any other comments? Okay. Go ahead, Director. Sorry.
I think at this point, I've got to agree with a lot of what's being said out here. I think we should take no action on this tonight, and I think we should take another look at it. But we should probably address the concerns of the residents and probably some of the board, because I think a lot of the points that were made tonight are very valid. So I would like to see us take no action at this point.
What was the intent of staff on this?
Well, the intent was obviously to adopt the pass the resolution and adopt the policy and adopt the new bylaws, and so that was the goal. I can certainly say that, you know, I take a little umbrage in Mr. Flint's comments that they're sloppy and that they don't include certain things, and I think this is a much better set of documents than we had previously. They certainly weren't thrown together in a short period of time. There's a lot of thought and a lot of time went into them. There were reasons why certain things were not included in the bylaws. For example, the action minute item that was adopted by resolution of the board doesn't necessarily need to be in here. It could be included, but I made the decision not to include it, because then we could never, at any opportunity, for example, if the board wanted to say that, can we please have can the minutes accurately reflect or verbatim reflect this particular subject, that we would be tying our hands to be able to do that in the future. Right. That was the reason why I did not include action minutes. We do have a resolution that calls for that. That is a minimum level. We can certainly exceed that, meaning that if we needed to have more than just action minutes, we can go ahead and include more than just action minutes. If the board so directs us to do it, we can do that. If it's in our bylaws saying we can't do it, you would have to amend the bylaws in order to have that take place. So there was a certain methodology that I went through and discussing also with legal counsel relative to that subject specifically. That's just one example.
I understand, and I appreciate that. I know that there's been a lot of hard work put into this, and I also don't think that there's anything sloppy or hastily done here. But having that been said, there are a few items that could be cleaned up, and let's just bring a final copy. I'm sorry, I shouldn't. I would agree that I would really like to see the final the way it's going to be, rather than have to make a motion that amends and changes this paragraph and this and that. And so, does anybody have a motion that they'd like to make?
No, I have another comment.
Oh, go ahead, Ray.
Two things. Number one is what I'm hearing is that, and maybe we should at least come up with a consensus. Do we want all resolutions to be in the board policy? We talked about it. It was in the last time we talked about it, and so. No.
No.
Okay. That's fine.
I don't agree. A very good example just given to us of why that's probably not a good idea to have all resolutions.
No, I don't have a problem.
Okay.
I
agree. No, good question, though. I mean, that's my opinion. Does anybody have a contrary opinion to that? Okay.
However, my next item is that, I'm not really clear on this last paragraph under powers of the board that we talked about crossing out legal and moral. I mean, the intent of this paragraph is to kind of say, identify some kind of conduct or conduct that we consider as good by a board member, or a board member should have certain conduct, and also be required to take ethics training pursuant to AB 1234. So I would like to know what the wording will be. So I wouldn't propose we pass this until we had the wording, and just to say, well, we're going to make it blah, 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 and that's it. That wouldn't do it. And then I want to know if, in fact, we have this thing that says we'll have a certain conduct, what is the ramifications of the board? What can we do? I mean, is it just there and it means nothing?
Council, did you have some comments on that?
Yeah, first of all, in answer to your first question, the language that I suggested, all applicable local, state, and federal laws, I think would address your question. For instance, like AB 1234, that's a state law and it's applicable to you. So I think that would be be the language that would cover that issue. In regards to what happens if somebody violates this, your remedy essentially is sanction.
Censure.
Thank you. Is to censure someone, which is basically to take a formal board position that somebody violated the rules and direct them not to do it again. You do not have the authority to prohibit somebody from being in a meeting, prohibit one of the board members from not voting on anything, penalize them financially. You do not have those powers. So censure is your tool in the event anybody violates any of your board policies.
And those rules are specified in the CSD law?
There's no specific statute that does it. It's just one of the things that you can do. So if somebody does this, you would have a motion to censure somebody, which is basically say, we disapprove of your violating of our policies. Don't do it again.
Okay.
And that's essentially it.
Should we spell that? Please spell that out in this document if there is a remedy. We have nothing.
We could add a provision that violations of this policy may be addressed by the board by way of a censure motion.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. We could do that.
Okay. We did that a recommendation?
Well, it begs another question. Is there anything someone could do to cause them to be off the board?
A recall election.
And there's no other action that could happen.
Felony convictions, but what I think
is that in the law?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Okay. Would it be a recommendation of the board to include some language with regards to, even though it doesn't seem like much power, that whatever power we have be addressed. Is that a consensus? Okay.
Please.
Rick, did you take note of that? Okay. Yes, please.
Kevin.
Hey,
Mr. Schroeder, you just stated that there is no law regarding whether or not a director can be censored or otherwise punished for certain actions. Inasmuch as there is no law, is there a regulation that prohibits this board from setting a standard of action for which a director can be more than censured, in other words, removed from the board?
Yeah, you can address that, Council.
I think I already did. First of all, let me clarify. When I say there's no law, I'm talking about like a statute, like you would go to a particular code section. There's case law that is clear that this is it's a power of any public entity to do that. But I think I also
To do what?
To censure another board member for a violation of its rules. Regarding anything else, I believe I already answered that. The board has no authority to remove somebody. They do not. Period.
I understand you said that, but then you followed that up with the statement that there is no law prohibiting it or granting it.
I meant for censure. I apologize if I cause confusion.
Is there any law prohibiting or granting any other power that this board could put into effect by the bylaw?
I've answered that. No. If a board member has done something and somebody wants to take some action against the board member, and it's for their conduct, other than censure, which is basically we don't approve of this and don't do it again, and somebody wants to remove them, the board does not have the authority to do that. The only way they can be removed and under those circumstances is a recall election.
I think you're still not answering the question.
Okay,
I just ask it one last time and maybe he can get the answer for me. Is there a statute that says the board cannot create a bylaw or a regulation covering this?
She's asking, can we give ourselves the power to get one
of those? Go ahead.
There's not a law for everything. You're given authority from the state of California. The state of California establishes what your authority is. There is no authority under statute for what you've just asked for.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions? Excuse me. Any other comments? I'm sorry, you've already had your opportunity to speak on this item, sir. Any other comments from anybody else? Yes, ma'am.
This really isn't quite clear in my mind because I can't figure out what's going on. Okay. Why do you sit and pass a resolution and then say, well, we're not going to add that in our policies or whatever else you're working with, because we might change our mind in the future if you're passing a resolution about something, like the action minutes, and you're not going to include them because you might change your mind? Why do you pass a resolution? I missed what the point of what Rick was saying, why he did what he did. I simply don't understand.
Well, I don't think we can help you out too much more with that. It was pretty clearly explained as to the fact that there may be an exception to that for a specific item, and it's just to keep limiting from happening. It is a resolution and how the action is going to occur. There may be an opportunity where that would want to be set aside for a specific item.
Then why wasn't that included in the resolution? That's what I don't understand.
Okay, thank you. Any other comments? Great. At this point, staff, do you have any questions with regards to what we would like to have you do?
Nope.
Thank you very much. Okay. Let's try item two.
I'm going to turn this one over to Farron.
You go, girl.
This is an award contract for our annual tree maintenance contract to Cleary Brothers. They've been doing some work for us, as you know, in the past year or so. And with that, I'll go ahead and let Farron address it.
There's not a lot much more to it than what Rick covered. It was an RFP we put out. In the past, a lot of our tree care services have been done by emergency services only. When we had tree fall over, property damage, something that was, there wasn't a maintenance program. Last year, we started establishing that. We did some tree work in all of our zones. We tried to pull a lot of the tree work that we needed together in multiple zones so that we could get a better pricing. This is the RFP that's before you tonight. I'm recommending we award the contract. This was the lowest bidder. Information is there. If there's any questions, I can happily answer them.
I don't have any questions. Does the board have any questions?
No.
Any questions from the public? No hands? Okay.
Let's go.
Thank you, Farron. We're going to have you do all the presentations from now on.
I'll make a motion.
That'd be great.
Sure you don't want to discuss it
anymore? Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Okay. I'd like to make a motion that we accept the lowest bidder, Cleary Brothers, for $18,176.
I'll second that. Okay. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? The motion carries unanimously. Item F3, and I actually have somebody here that would like to comment on item F3. Staff, why don't you go ahead and do your presentation first, though?
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board, public. This item is a agency comment request form, or an agency comment request that came from the county, Contra Costa County. AT&T Cellular and the Presbyterian Church of San Francisco, also known as the Delta Valley Presbyterian Church, or Delta Community Presbyterian Church, I'm sorry. They are proposing to install a 60-foot monopalm in the parking lot, and is it laid out in the plans? It's basically behind our water tanks in the parking lot over here. And they're just seeking board input and public, or board comment, I should say, regarding that project. They currently have one cellular monopalm in place. I believe it's through T-Mobile, and this is with AT&T. So if you have any questions, I can answer.
Do we want, okay, go ahead, Director Stein.
We, the deal we have with was a T-Mobile that we get compensated for.
Yeah.
Now, AT&T wants to come in and put it on the church's property, and what's the compensation involved there?
I don't know what the compensation, I don't know what the terms of the deal are between AT&T and the church.
I just hard to believe that we wouldn't put it on our property and collect rent for it like we're doing T-Mobile.
They didn't approach us. We weren't approached on that at all. The first I heard about it was when I got the agency comment request in the mail about a week or two ago.
They approached the church.
And we have somebody that's asked to comment on this, so I will invite Liz. Shall I give it a shot, Liz?
Go for it.
Zaninovich.
Yes.
How's that?
Yes.
Zaninovich, is that correct? No, it's not even correct.
My name is Liz Zaninovich. I represent AT&T for this project. I can answer any questions you may have. As for the rent that the church would be getting, that's confidential, and we haven't reached an agreement on that.
I was actually trying to avoid, you know, if you fill out the yellow paper, so I have to call you up. I was trying to avoid actually putting you in a position. but that's okay.
Please excuse my voice.
That's okay. Any questions for Liz, Miss Liz, from the board?
is that the same height as the other?
It's 5 feet taller.
5 feet taller. Mm-hmm. And it's in the same proximity as the other one is, basically?
Yes, we're right next to each other.
That's all I got.
Any other comments from the board?
What about the distance from the play yard and the worship area?
Actually, I can. Well, do you have? Can you address that? Or?
Oh well, could you be more specific about your question?
I'm concerned about the electromagnetic frequencies that are going to affect the children.
Right. We do have an RF report, and I have it with me. If you don't have a copy, we're well under the FCC limits. If you'd like to see it, I can. Really hand it over to you?
Chris, I can't comment because I was involved in the original, that the church did its due diligence in researching all that extensively, because at the time we put the new one in, we were in the process of planning the school, or the school was probably already in place at that time, and it was right at the same time, and we looked at that extensively as a concern from the congregation prior to that going in, and it was well below any sort of requirements, or I don't remember the exact numbers, but it was addressed by the church.
I guess my comment is they don't have enough parking, and now they're asking for more area to put more antennas, and that just seems kind of conflicting.
We are going to take one parking spot, yes, and we'll be replacing it in another area of the property in accordance with Contra Costa County ordinance.
That is a church.
What's it?
That's it.
Okay. Any questions or comments about this from the public?
So where is in the other tower is in the CSD property? It's not? Is it in the church also?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So I was thinking if it was here, it'd be more secure here, because even though it says you can put an 8-foot fence, that's, I don't know, it's a church area, and like you said, there's children around, a lot of movement. You know?
We'll also have a shelter for the equipment, so there'll be a fence and a shelter.
Any other questions or comments for the public? Please come forward.
I think it should be the town, this board should not get in the way of this. I'm an AT&T customer, and a lot of other people are here, and the service is not great at my home.
Can I think of a written statement? I've never heard anybody appreciate
it. At my home, for whatever reason, I have almost no AT&T service, so I would see this as great, and a lot of other people would as well. There is one tower there already. I don't think this is going to change the skyscape. And it's sitting right next to those ugly blue tanks anyway. When you drive up, you see the tanks. You don't see the fake trees. So I think there's no reason for this board to get in the way of this. And it is first come, first serve on commercial properties. When you see one antenna, you see a bunch of antennas. That's just the way it goes in the real world. So, you're for however long from putting up that other antenna, and this place is already there and it's ripe, and maybe there'll be a third someday. So,
did you have a question, Director Dawson?
Once the tower's built, if another provider wants to put antennas on it, do they get that ability, or do they have to build a whole new tower?
Unfortunately, for this type of build and for the number of antennas and equipment we'll be using, it's not feasible to add another carrier.
Okay.
We had wanted to do that with T-Mobile, but unfortunately...
Yeah, I was really hopeful for that, too, because I had terrible service.
And just to address the gentleman's comment, it will provide much better in-building coverage and increased capacity for data, especially considering the increased use of cell phones instead of landlines.
Thank you. Other comments?
If I can ask Lizzie, the next time you have one of those in the area, can you please let us know? We like love to have another one.
nice pitch. Thank you very much for your for your input and for taking the time to come out here, Liz, and for putting up with us. At this point, we would direct the board to go forward with no comment. Isn't that our typical mode of operation?
I will draft a letter indicating that and respond back to the county and copy the board on that.
I'm sorry. Oh, yeah. Let's have a motion to direct the staff to do that. And just for explanation purposes, no comment's a good thing. We don't have any power to approve anything. What they're asking us for is, do we have anything that we don't approve of? And we don't. So no comment is the reasonable response to the request. Is there a motion?
I'll make a motion that we respond to the county with no negative comment.
Thank you for clarifying that for me. Is there a second?
Sure, I'll second.
Okay, motion's been made and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries unanimously.
Can I sit down, please?
Okay. Veolia, Bernie.
Thank you.
Good evening.
Good evening. Well, last night we did a little over 42 hours of training of staff in various areas. On the water side, we conducted our with various people out doing some testing on the filters out here on filter C. We got that report back, and we are currently addressing those issues that was in that report. We also met with a vendor on looking at redesigning our current chlorine system to improve it. All five wells are current active. On the wastewater side, we did various repairs throughout the plants. Over at plant one, we repaired a rotor on aux ditches. We replaced a motor on one of the aux ditches. We replaced some VFDs at burnout. Repaired some submersible pumps at our lift stations. And currently at all 15 lift stations, we have two working pumps, a lead pump and a lag pump. We installed a new chopper pump at the influent of the wastewater plant number one. It will help chop up some of the heavy material that comes in. And we also put in, so Billy will have some new vehicles on out and about in the town, getting a better fleet in so we can do the services that we need to do. And currently all 15 lift stations are active. And as the directors can see, I added a new column to the wastewater lab, so you can see what our permit limits the state gives us and where we're at with those.
Thank you so much for that.
And you can see as our data, lab data, we're well within our limits of all parameters. And in this report, I'll keep generating, making it more and more informational for you. Last month, we did a little over about 300 hours on our work orders, did about 193 plus work orders on the various equipment. We responded to about 30 different various call outs, which is at nighttime, where operators have to come out at night to address different issues. That's about it. Any questions?
Ray, do you have any?
No.
I'm sorry, Mark, do you have any? Chris?
No.
Fine. When you did the rotor replacement in the, oh, was that in the aux dish or the clarifier?
That was in the aux dish.
Oh, okay, forget it. Wrong type of stuff. Any questions for Veolia from the public? Any comments and or questions from the public for Veolia?
Yeah, I'm not sure if this is the right place or time to ask, but is there an update on the fines that are outstanding, the huge spill that happened a couple of years ago, and then there were $3,000 fines, I think, or $5,000 fines, whatever, earlier this year. And I don't know where, if that's something that's normally updated through the meeting process, but where does that stand, do you know?
Steph, do you want to address that?
The $3,000 fines that Mr. Flynn's referring to were paid last year, and those were imposed in part because of issues we were having with balancing out and bringing the new UV 3000 plus system online. If you recall, we had to change the weirs and a number of other things. And there's three parties at play here. There's a contractor, there's us, the owner, and there's the operator. And so once that project is finally put to bed, we will then go back and identify if there's any culpability on Veolia's part, whether or not they owe us any money on the fines at that point in time. With respect to the larger fine going back a couple of years now, I did place a inquiry to the water boards about a month ago, asking them what the status was. They told me that they have not resolved it yet. I asked them to please do so, and at least to get us to a point where we know what the status of it is. So at this point in time, we're still in a waiting game with the state.
At this point on that large fine, how much district money is put out?
At this point, there's no, well, it's semantics, I guess. As I understand it, Southwest Water contributed 50% of the cost of the fine. We withheld payment on the other 50%, in that those two equal the total fine amount, and that's what's currently in the escrow account in some bank in Los Angeles.
So we put money into that escrow account?
We put money into the escrow account.
Instead of paying Veolia?
Southwest Water.
Sorry, no offense.
Thank you.
Sorry. And then on the $15,000 of fines, what's the target date for that project wrapping up to the point where that will be resolved, so I don't have to keep asking?
It's a very complicated system, and it's you're taking older equipment and meeting it up with the latest and greatest, and you're trying to mirror image them, and sometimes it takes longer than you would hope.
Could it be another 6 months before that's resolution?
How about this, Mr. Flynn? So you don't have to keep asking. When it gets to an end and comes to a resolution, we'll provide that information as a matter of information from the staff at a meeting. How will that work?
It'd be great if it were an agenda item, not just a consent calendar item or something that's thrown in as a comment.
It will be done under a report for sure.
Okay, that'd be great.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Is that okay, staff? Did I?
Yeah.
Okay. Bernie, thank you very much. Any other questions for Bernie? Okay, great job. Thank you. And thank you for including that. That helps us really see where we stand in the grand scheme of things. Thanks for picking up on that. Okay, that brings us to manager's reports.
I have two items for you this evening. One is just an update. For the public as well, six weeks or so ago, the board authorized the purchase and installation of a chopper pump down at the wastewater treatment plant. That pump, that bond pump, has been delivered. It has been installed and it is operational at this point in time. So I'm just giving an update on that. The second one is the wastewater master plan is up on the district's website. It was posted this morning. We received it in parts late 2 weeks ago. the week of the last board meeting in part, and then the rest of it on, I believe, on Monday. We went through a minor review of it. We found a few typos, edits, things like that, non-substantive changes. We wanted to make sure that we got the report that is the best report out there, so we held off putting it up until we made those changes, until the consultant made those edits. Those have been made, and it is up. And what I would like to ask the board tonight is if the board is amenable to conducting a workshop on the wastewater master plan on Wednesday night, November the 11th, about 3 weeks from now. That gives us an opportunity to work.
Actually, that would be the 9th, so the 11th is Friday.
The 9th, I'm sorry, November the 9th, 2011. I have 11-9-11, so yeah. November the 9th, it's a Wednesday night, it's an off meeting, it's an off regular board meeting week, and was hopeful that that would be an opportunity so we can go ahead and present it. The consultants are available that night, and I do have them tentatively scheduled, depending on your availability, so I'd like to go ahead and try and get that scheduled as soon as possible.
Is anybody on the board not able to be here on that evening at 6:30, is that what you said?
Yeah, I'd shoot for 6:30.
Okay. I would encourage you to go ahead and schedule that. Do we don't need a motion?
No, I'll go ahead and do that. And then I do have one last item, more as just an informational item. We ordered a new vehicle about 2 months ago. It was on a long train ride from wherever they manufactured it. It arrived in Benicia the other day, and I understand it's being transported today to, it was transported today, as I understand, to Stockton, where it's been delivered to the dealership, and that we should be receiving delivery of it after they do their, you know, the process they go through direct assignment. The pre-delivery okay. Inspection process, and we should be getting it late this week or early next week.
Thank you for that. Any comments on the manager's comments? Okay. General Counsel.
Thank you, Mr. President, board members. I want to begin by giving you a little clearer answer to your question. I think I was maybe not answering the way you'd understand. The courts have dealt with many situations where boards and councils and boards of supervisors have tried to do something more than just censure them, and the courts have routinely said you have no authority to do that.
Thank you. That's all I was asking.
I figured that might help a little bit. Okay. Sorry, I wasn't a little clearer before. I have two other items I have been asked to address. One is in regards to the medical benefits coverage, and then the second is to opine on the issue of whether the Brown Act authorizes the public to comment on director comments. With the first item, the issue that I've been asked has been the following. May board members participate in the medical benefits program with the SDRMA. The SDRMA is basically the insurance company that the district uses. The answer is yes, and here's why. On December 20th of 2010, at a board meeting, on agenda item number C, the staff had requested that the board approve the medical benefits plan contained in an MOU from SDRMA that evening. Accompanying the agenda and the agenda packet was a staff report, and attached to the staff report was a draft resolution, and attached to that was a copy of the Memorandum of Understanding, which set forth what the terms of the policy generally would be. That's typically how SDMRA enters into these type of plans with various public entities. The staff report recommended approval of that plan and asked that the resolution be entered authorizing the approval of that plan. On page one, paragraph number four of the MOU, it identifies who the participants would be under your plan, and it provides that it would include active and retired employees, dependents, and public officials. That is you. A motion was made, it was approved, the resolution and approval of the MOU and authorization to for the president to sign it was approved unanimously Director Steele, you were absent from that meeting, and the minutes reflect that. Thereafter, I believe at the end of the meeting, the president signed the resolution and signed the MOU. So that is the basis that board members have to participate in the SDRMA plan. I believe when I looked at the minutes for December 20th,
I was out.
The minutes, I checked the minutes and it reflected that Director Steele was absent.
Thank you for that clarification, and I appreciate that, Council.
Would you like me to proceed to the second item?
Yeah, we'll go ahead and go there.
Again, I was asked by the general manager to comment on whether the public has a right to make public comments regarding the director's comment item on the agenda under the Brown Act. The answer is no. Brown Act and Government Code Section 549454.3 Subpart A provides that the public has, that's the section that deals with public right to comment. In addition to the general right to comment about anything under the jurisdiction, the Brown Act establishes that the public has a right to comment before or during the legislative bodies that you, and these are the words, and I'll quote them, consideration of the item, close quote. So the question is what items on the agenda are subject to your consideration? The Brown Act doesn't define what that means, or have there been cases that have made abundantly clear, though we do have some hints. First of all, there has been a case interpreting whether the public has a right to comment on items that will be on future agendas. And the courts have said no. The reason is they don't have the ability to comment on the item other than just for scheduling purposes. Yes, I want this on, or no, I don't. The court has held there that is an item that the public is not entitled to comment because the board is not considering it, nor did the Brown Act provide that the public has a right to comment on the scheduling of items. Okay? So we then go to the dictionary. When you look at the dictionary, the language consideration means to do something, careful thought, to make a weighted or other type of decision. Whenever the directors are making comment, you as a board are prohibited from discussing or taking any action on anything that any of the directors say during their comment. In fact, if you look into section number 54954.2, that's the section that expressly prohibits you from having any discussion or comments on anything, but it gives exceptions. And one of the exceptions is if a director or elected official wants to make a, quote, brief comment on their activities, a brief report of their activities. That doesn't mean that you have the ability to discuss and take action, and therefore you cannot consider that. So on the basis of that, there's no support for that. And then finally, when you look at the language, the Brown Act says that the public has a right to comment on any item for consideration before or during. The when, before or during, is left up to the discretion of the legislative body. That's you. Now, let's take an example on your agenda tonight. You have an action, several action items. They're identified, there's staff reports contained in the agenda packets. The public knows what that's about. You could technically, when you bring up the item, action item number one, instead of a staff report, you could lead off, is there public comment? Well, at least they would be able to comment on something because they know what's at least the topic of discussion. Now, in contrast, when you look at board comments, if you were to do the same thing, they wouldn't have a clue, nor would anybody other than the director who's going to be making. Yet another indication that is not an item for consideration. Now, there has been a practice that has occurred here where people have been allowed, and as you heard me comment earlier this evening, that your agenda provides language similar but not the same as the Brown Act. And it provides, and I'll read it, under public comment, the public may comment on any item on the agenda at the time the item is taken up. You did not use consideration of an item. So had you had that language in your agenda, and should you wish to put it in, then when an item such as director comment came forward, there would be no right either under the Brown Act or under your notice where the public could make comment at that point in time. But that is the language that you have. So the public is entitled to comment. They're entitled to comment on my presentation. Finally, the president has the authority to run the meeting. So even if the language in the public comments was limited to consideration of an item, and somebody wanted to comment on something that doesn't fall within that, the president who runs the meeting does have the ability to allow that to happen, subject to the rest of you voting no. So with that, I'm happy to answer any questions. I do want to make one other comment. I talked to the general manager about the origins of this language, and this language has been used for years. And when I have reviewed your district's policies, which set forth who is responsible for putting together the agenda, it is your board secretary, and that hasn't changed in the proposed language that was presented to you tonight. So that rests with your general manager, who serves as the board secretary. And I'm unaware of any resolution, board order, or anything that specifically requires that language to be there. So my opinion was that he has the ability to, at a minimum, have a notice that complies with state law. And if there's no other direction from the board, then he doesn't have to. He is understandably uncomfortable in doing that because it's been this way for such a long time. And thus he has asked that should you choose to revisit this language and possibly change it, that you add it to a future agenda whereby you then can discuss it and then vote and then give him direction on what you want to have in the notice itself. So with that, I'd be happy to answer your questions.
Are there any questions from the board? Any questions? Any comments from the public?
My comments go to the benefit plan. You know, I did it public. I found out, like a few other folks did, that the directors were, in the eyes of this board, eligible for the $500 and some odd dollars a month benefit, medical benefit. So I did a public records request to refresh my memory, because I was here on November 17th when the vote was taken. I have right here the agenda report. There is not one word in this agenda report, or in the resolution, or in anything when you made the definitive vote on November 17th, stating anything other than employees. Not one word. Here are the minutes. Only employees. Here are the numbers where all the calculations were done and presented. Only employees, by count and by money. Only employees. Now, all of a sudden, on the 29th of November, you have a town employee contacting SDRMA, asking about enrolling directors on November 29th. Less than 2 weeks before that, you're only voting for employees, but yet you're seeking to enroll directors on the 29th of November, before that word was slipped in on December 20th. But lo and behold, we go all the way forward to June 21st, and this is a email from SDRMA. And it's a short email, but I'll read one sentence. Board members are typically considered volunteers, as they don't work full-time for the district and generally have other means of income or coverage if retired. Most districts do not provide coverage to their public officials due to the financial responsibility it requires of the district. I have other documents along the same line from the agency you're getting your insurance from. Now, this district isn't rolling in dough. 40% increase over 2 years just based on the water, with more to come. On November 17th, not one word was in any of the documents that you voted on stating giving benefits to directors. I find this disingenuous or worse. I believe this needs to be an item brought before this board, an action item, an agenda item, and I think it needs to be fully discussed. It's not right what you've done. And I don't know if it was the general manager slipping something by you. I don't know if it was slipped by some of the directors or any of the directors, but it's just not right when you look at the documents. Thank you.
Regarding the Brown Act discussion, not on the agenda, that was brought to you, if you said, from the general manager? Your discussion on the whole Brown Act?
Yes, and I've been seeing what's been been happening over the last couple of
years. Okay, well, what I'm suggesting to the board is you don't do this. I don't think it's a good idea to put this wording in and limit even further the public's ability to discuss. I think it's a bad idea.
Any other comments?
I think the medical benefit thing, and I don't blame the general manager for not wanting to simply share with the public in written form or even verbal form what happened, because I'm sure he's not real happy about the way it all went down. But clearly, the public discussed, the board discussed, covering the employees. When that changed, you know, I don't even know. I mean, I assume that that's what you folks do in closed session, that when our general manager, who negotiates on behalf of the district and on behalf of the employees, which is a unique situation, I think, sits down and talks. He talks to you directors and says, we can cover you guys. Granted, the public doesn't know about it, and we've led the public to believe only employees are going to be covered, but we can do that. And I would hope, at least, that you knew about that through a closed session. It would be better if it was an open session, but at least I would hope that he would have discussed it. And I know you had closed sessions, I want to say December 17th, before the vote of December 20th. You know, you guys do a lot of business outside of this room or in this room in closed sessions. And I'm guessing this is one of those things. But you know what? Prove me wrong. Tell me when it was discussed. Tell me when it was discussed publicly. Just come clean. Do what you need to do. If you need to have your attorney stand up and read a bunch of laws and read the MOU, that's not what was voted on when you guys voted in November. That's not what was discussed.
Any other comments? Counsel?
That's all I have. Thank you, sir.
I'm a little confused, counsel, on the dates, November 17th and December 20th. Can you help me out with that?
Yes, on November 17th, the board took up the issue of whether they wanted to extend a benefit to its employees by way of medical benefit program.
So at that point, we just gave the board, we gave the staff guidance to go look into this and bring back a proposal?
Correct. You authorized them to do so. You set an amount limit, and then the resolution that was brought and agendized in your December 20th meeting contained that information and contained an MOU.
So there was no vote on November 17th to provide benefits for any employees?
Yes, no, there was a vote. You approved a resolution establishing a program to provide that benefit or provide a medical benefit to the employees. And then on December 20th, you had before you the MOU. I read the language out of the MOU, and that at a properly noticed meeting, all the material was in the agenda packet, was adopted by unanimous vote, with the exception of Director Steele, who was absent.
Thank you. Okay. I, at this point, would, any other comments?
Yes, Kevin. I think the issue of transparency has previously been mentioned. Transparency includes notifying the public if you are going to raise the salaries of this board by $30,000 a year. At the same time, you notify us that you're going to increase the cost to each individual for running this town. We realize the costs are going up, but not to the extent of $500 a month for five people. We need to know for our elected representatives what you're doing. And I'm hearing from council that it was probably buried somewhere in a packet. I'd like you to note that there were not enough packets to go around tonight. I could not download one this afternoon, and I looked tonight when I came in. I wasn't the last person in this room. The packets were not available, ran out. So not always can we find out by reading extensive packets, and something that important should be noted. The newspapers should know about it. The public should know about it. And we should know specifically if you are granting yourselves that kind of raise. And I personally think that you should each be ashamed of yourselves for not notifying your constituents when you did this.
Can I say something here for just a second?
Yeah, go ahead.
I'd like to get tired of hearing this. You've never asked the question if any of the directors took the benefits. You were assuming that we're all thieves and took the benefits. Ask me if I took the benefit. I did not. Ask him if he took the benefit. He did not. Ask if he took the benefit. He did not. Neither did he. Neither did he.
That's not the information that we previously received.
Okay. Let me finish. I'll let you finish. Mm-hmm. We became eligible for it when the employees did. Whether we wanted to be eligible, we get it because we didn't take it. Mm-hmm. So you're saying that we gave ourselves a $30,000 a year raise. We didn't give ourselves any raise. We didn't take it.
Okay, I'm
tired of being called a thief here.
May I respond to that, Kevin?
Go ahead.
Inasmuch as you now say you didn't take it, the public should still be aware that it is eligible to you. And I think I have accurate information that at least some of it was taken. Whether all of you did or not, I don't know. How much you took, I don't know. And that's not the issue. The fact that it was made eligible for each of you and no one knows about it, and at the next election nobody was going to know about it, that's wrong.
Okay,
so
hold
on a minute, Ray.
Okay,
if you would like to make a comment.
Yes, I would like to make a comment.
Okay, go ahead.
Because I have to, because you said, okay, no, that's fine. You can say anything you want. That you're right. Let me just say for the record that I believe that we did handle this wrong, and it should have mentioned in our
Please
meeting.
Please speak for yourself, Director Bertetro, not
yes.
for the whole board.
I am speaking for myself, so
okay.
be
well,
quiet.
You said we.
I'm sorry. Well, I mean it's a board. It's my opinion, okay? Thank you. All right. We should have said that it included directors. We knew it, okay? And for the record, I am taking $40 a month. And I took advantage of that to cover what I don't have in my insurance because it was available to me. I don't feel bad about it, but I do think we should have handled it differently when we brought it up in the public. That's all I have to say.
Thank you. Personally, I never considered it. It was never brought. If it was discussed, it was irrelevant to me. Didn't think about it. Don't intend to use it. But the bottom line is this: state statute allows for this to occur. The minute that we voted for benefits for the town, it automatically included public officials. We didn't pass anything for ourselves. We didn't do anything for ourselves. It was a trigger that allowed that to occur. That's as simply as I can put it. It was a statute that was triggered by the fact that we offered benefits to the employees. Any other comments by the board? Did you want to say something, Mr. Dorn?
Yeah, man. I read the public records request that Jeff Barber took, and I didn't have a chance to copy him today, but there's some emails that are a contradiction to part of these conversations tonight. This isn't about you taking him, or anybody taking him in here. The bottom line is I'm getting a different conversation piece. It is about transparency and not calling anybody thieves. I'm not saying that I knew or I didn't know. excuse me for not knowing, but I'm watching an email back and forth to a girl, a lady named Ellen. I'm not trying to be a pain in the behind, I'm just trying to understand it. It didn't make sense for us to add directors to the coverage when we started because none of them needed it. To have them initially would have been a result in the district paying for coverage when it wasn't necessary. I'm sure there would have been presumed that at some point our history of board member needed coverage, but again, adding them before we need coverage would be a waste of money. I get that. Then there's another email that's saying that he's getting pressured from a director to get the coverage. Okay, and I'm not pointing the director, and I'm not saying that you guys don't deserve coverage. That's not my point. My point here is, and I understand recently that he's still rallying for one of the directors to get insurance. That should still be some level of transparency. It's not about who has the coverage, who doesn't have the coverage. It's about transparency. That's all I'm going to say.
And I would like to it's, I know it's a matter of semantics, but it's pretty hard to get a raise for something you don't get paid for. I mean, we don't get paid any salary. We don't get paid any compensation. So to get a raise for something we don't already have doesn't make any sense. It's a benefit. It's a benefit that is allowed by state statute. I don't. You know, I'm a little confused with the timeline myself, but I don't ever remember it being discussed prior to. I don't remember when that was 10 months ago. So I really don't recall when it was discussed.
Yeah.
Anyway. Did you have some comments, Chris?
We need to do a better job of communicating and being more transparent. That's my comment.
Good comment. Anything else? Okay. On item one, thank you for I don't know if we're clearing anything up or not, but thank you for trying to clarify at least what occurred, how it occurred, the fact that it was in the public's hands in a packet. Obviously, wasn't obvious enough. I gotta tell you, I didn't read the whole MOU myself. I just have to be honest with you about that. I signed the back page. Staff did the research. I don't know the state statutes by heart either, so I just didn't know that occurred. On item number two, I would like to see staff make our public our agendas consistent with the Brown Act. And I don't know if that needs a motion to.
As I said before, if you want to change.
Oh, we need to bring it as an agenda. Please put that on the next agenda for discussion. Yeah. Okay. Any other future agenda items?
Yes. I have one.
We kind of did committee updates when we did our director's comments, unless you have, did you have something else you wanted?
Correspondence.
Oh, I'm sorry. Correspondence, it's listed. Public records requests are listed. Now we're at future agenda items.
Okay, again, I'd like to put in the thing about the community center we talked about.
Yes. Yeah, the community center committee yesterday unanimously with one member.
This is not a discussion item.
It's a report.
Oh, we're going back here.
No.
Agenda item.
It's
a future agenda item. The community center committee with one member absent asked that the board ask we place on the next agenda. The subject of the athletic club, and number one, and number two, what types of uses the board would like to see in a community center relative to the issue of a standalone community center or a facility that would also include offices for district staff. So with that, I will be placing that item on the next agenda.
Add to that, we've talked about how we're going to fund this, because we're talking about what we want, and we need to know whether we can pay for it or not.
That would be part of the report from the committee. This is helping
my,
the committee.
My understanding is the committee is not ready to make a report. They need more information before they can make a report. Okay. Any other agenda items? Mr. Barber?
I do believe this insurance issue needs to be on an agenda. What you said does not match what your insurance company said, and I can read it again, although I don't want to. Your insurance company said something and you completely contradicted it. It needs to be on an agenda item. You need to bring this out in the open because your insurance company said that most districts do not cover directors and they're your own agency. It needs to be on an agenda. You need to bring this out in the open and you need to deal with it because it doesn't matter if none of you are taking the benefits now. You put something in place going forward. When you're out of office, what you put in place will carry forward. This needs to be on an agenda.
Any other comments for the public?
Am I allowed to ask a question?
You can ask a question.
Okay.
Are you guys employees of the town of Discovery Bay?
Hold on.
Point of order.
Yes.
Again, this is not a discussion item. This is just putting future agenda items.
Agenda item.
Thanks, and thanks for inviting the public to make remarks for future agenda items. I appreciate that. I think the medical plan really needs to be discussed. I think Ray's right. I think Chris is right. And the point isn't whether or not directors are taking the benefit. It's that the vote to allow it exposed the district to a huge liability without the public having adequate notice. I also think that the issue of whether or not committee meetings should be recorded, should be a future agenda item. There's no good reason. The only reason is a fear of transparency. And, you know, why just let's have a discussion, and if the board doesn't want to do it, the board can say we don't want the public to have access through the website to the audio from the meetings. Or the board can come up with more excuses, either way. The other item I think is more than ripe for a future agenda item is something that Director Simon brought up probably a year ago, and that's a discussion about Prop 218, where we're paying stipends for directors attending meetings, we're paying for an attorney to sit here during meetings. We're taking on a lot of costs for non-ratepayer functions, and we don't have any way of paying for those things, and it's continuing. And I know that some people on the board believe that the fact that LAFCO and the county gave the district advisory duties means
we have the so what would the agenda item be, please? This is
not trying to explain what it would be.
I think okay. I know you're really commenting on a lot of other things. Just please get to the point, Don. What is the agenda item? This is for future agenda items.
Right.
We're not going to write a paragraph as an agenda item. Tell me what you would like the agenda item to be, so it can be clear and concise for transparency purposes.
Yeah, I was right there completing my point that would explain what I wanted, and you interrupted me. I would like the agenda item to be much what Director Simon suggested, is a discussion about how the district should properly fund non-ratepayer expenses.
Thank you. Do you have any other agenda items?
President Graves.
Sir, this is not a time for discussion. This is a time for future agenda items. You stated what that agenda item was clearly and concisely. That's all I can ask of you.
I was in the middle of my sentence and you interrupt me. That's fine. You can interrupt me. You have a gavel and that's great.
Did you have any more items? Okay. Let the record show he doesn't. Any other items from anybody else? Hearing none. I would entertain a motion for adjournment.
I make a motion that we adjourn the meeting.
Motion's been made and seconded. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?